Let's pray for Janet as she comes to read God's word and then to communicate its wonderful life-giving truths to us today. Father, we thank you that your word is living. It's active. Lord, may we sense the activity of your living word today as we listen, as you continue to teach us from it over the week to come. Bless your servant Janet. Thank you for her gift of communicating your truth. Thank you for the message that you've placed within her. We pray that it may sing in her heart, her mind, and in ours. To the glory of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks a lot, Paul. Well, hello. It's just so good to be back preaching again in Christchurch. So again, welcome to everybody here and welcome to all those who are watching online. Being a geographer, we obviously have to start with a where in the world am I? And a picture will come up on the screen. Where in the world is this? I've given you a clue. I've done a map. I've done a satellite photograph of the island. But there's also the flag, and the flag has got some green turtles on it. Any ideas? It's somewhere in the South Atlantic. If we look at the next image is in the ceiling of a chapel. It's a chapel somewhere in Britain, and in the ceiling, if you have a look, you can see some feet, just some feet rising. The answer to both is it's something to do with the Ascension. So well done if you guessed. That was Ascension Island, so called because it was discovered in 1501 on Ascension Day. And the statue of the feet is in the Chapel of the Ascension in a place called Walsingham over in East Anglia. Today we're going to be thinking about the Ascension. I'll do a quick look through Acts chapter 1 and then afterwards talk about how we can prepare for the Holy Spirit. So let's start by reading together. So see if you can find Acts chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. Acts 1, 1 to 11. This is Luke writing. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up to heaven, after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: do not leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then they gathered round him and asked him, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. Men of Galilee, they said, why do you stand here looking into the sky? The same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven. Thanks, Sarah. We're part of a series preparing for the Holy Spirit. And Thursday, the One Church One Day, and wasn't that a great day, by the way, was also Ascension Day. Acts 1 is the hinge between the Gospels and the Acts. So right at the end of Luke 24:49, we're told about the Ascension, and then Luke picks it up again, the story in the beginning of Acts 1. It's the story of how Jesus was raised up, ascended into heaven. He'd been around for 40 days since the resurrection. He'd been teaching and explaining about the kingdom of God. And now he ascends into heaven. Jesus proved, we're told, that he was alive. He explained things to his disciples. And he gathered all the disciples around him for a final time on the Mount of Olives. And he gave them a final instruction. Wait here, you will receive power. So next slide, please. In verse 9, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Look at that word power. The word in Greek is dynamis, from which we get dynamite. The Holy Spirit is as powerful as dynamite. And yet that power is very different from power that we think of here on earth. And the results of this power is you're going to be witnesses. The Holy Spirit points people to Jesus. People who are full of the Holy Spirit point people to Jesus. They cannot help telling others about Jesus. The next slide in verse 9, after he had said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. It's a painting by somebody called John Copley of the disciples looking around as Jesus ascends into heaven. It's interesting, isn't it? It's in a cloud. The cloud is always that sign of the glory of God, the presence of God. If you think back to the Israelites in the wilderness. And then after he's gone, two men in white, angels, say, stop looking up, he's gone. Jesus has ascended, visibly, publicly, but he will come back one day. So that very briefly is the story of the ascension. So what has it got to say to us about preparing for the Holy Spirit? There are three things in that story that I think point to hindrances or obstacles in preparing for the promised Holy Spirit. And on the slide, we can see those three same things which can hinder us today. The need to wait. And one of the things that hinders us is impatience. I want it now. But he says, wait. Secondly, misunderstanding and fear. And finally, nostalgia, looking to the past rather than looking to new things. So let's start by thinking about waiting. And this is where we go back to verse 4. Jesus says, don't leave Jerusalem, but wait. Wait. He gave them that command to wait. And where? To stay where they were in Jerusalem, to stay in that same place where they had seen his suffering, they'd seen his crucifixion and his resurrection. And he promises them a special gift, but they have to wait. In Luke 11, Jesus promises us the Holy Spirit, and he says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? But he talks about waiting, waiting for that same gift of the Holy Spirit. In the last 2 weeks, Paul and Chris Brown have been preaching on John 16, Well, we heard about that gift of the Holy Spirit promised. That gift, something which is free, nothing you can buy, but a free gift offered to us. It's great to hear your discussion earlier about waiting. How long have you had to wait? Well, because of COVID, I had to wait a jolly long time for my Christmas presents. So in April, my brother-in-law kindly brought me up my Christmas presents 4 months late. I knew the gift was coming, but I had to wait. But once that present came, believe me, I unwrapped it. It's hard when you have to wait for something promised. We tend to want it now, immediately, straight away. I was reminded of a very long time ago in my life when I was 16 and I'd heard about the gift of tongues and I wanted it right now. I was desperate and I was waiting and it didn't come and I was really, really impatient. I had the wrong motives. But then God did graciously give it to me. Sometimes we have to wait. In a worship song, it says, "You are working in our waiting. You're sanctifying us when beyond our understanding, you're teaching us to trust." The Holy Spirit is still working whilst we wait. The Holy Spirit is constantly transforming us, teaching us to trust him. And in times of waiting, we can still learn. Sometimes our prayers seem unanswered. It's a really big prayer in my life. 2 years on, I am still waiting for that to be answered. It's a reminder to wait for the Holy Spirit. There's not a quick fix or a really rushed response. No instant feel good. Let's wait. Let's prepare ourselves to receive that gift, but also to unwrap that gift. The next slide is about misunderstanding and fear. So besides our impatience for the Holy Spirit, sometimes we simply misunderstand. So Jesus says, "For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." Let's just think about that phrase, baptism in the Holy Spirit or baptism of the Spirit. It actually comes 7 times in the New Testament, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then twice in Acts. And it's always about the contrast between John's baptism with water and the Spirit's baptism or the baptism with fire. But also in 1 Corinthians 12, we were all baptized by the one Spirit so as to form one body. What does that phrase, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, mean to you or do to you? For some people, it actually makes them fearful. Baptism in the Holy Spirit is to do with Christian initiation, becoming a Christian. When we believe in Christ, we are baptized by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is there in us, working in us, transforming us, justifying us. But there has been teaching in the past that baptism in the Holy Spirit is like very much a second experience, separate from when we come to know Jesus, particularly associated with the Pentecostal movement. Sometimes it's been taught as something separate, something that's definitely got to do with tongues. And the danger is, if you keep talking about another experience, it can make the rest of us feel a little bit second class, or that's not happened to me, or that person's extra special, they've had an extra baptism. It's also that danger of not seeking a continuous infilling by the Holy Spirit day after day. I'm old enough to remember life in the 1970s and 80s when I heard people talking a lot about the Holy Spirit, and I heard teaching that I now see was wrong, teaching that said, "Oh, you've got to speak in tongues or you're not a proper Christian." I want to apologise on behalf of the church. I want to apologise for those that have been hurt by wrong teaching in the past, where the implication was you're not quite a good enough Christian if you don't, dot, dot, dot. And later in the response time, I want us to bring that hurt to God, where there has been misunderstanding or fear of the Holy Spirit. I want us to pray for healing for any words which may have helped anybody or made anyone feel inferior in any way. When we come to Christ, when we're baptized, believe me, the Holy Spirit has been given, is there, regenerating us, assuring us. The gift has been given, but we need to unwrap it. God can take away that fear, that misunderstanding. Back to chapter verse 6, the disciples gathered round him and said, Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? He said, well, it's not for you to know the times or dates. The disciples got the wrong end of the sticks. They completely misunderstood what he meant about the kingdom of God. They thought it meant, are you going to get rid of the Romans at long last, so that we can be in charge and restore the earthly kingdom? No, they misunderstood what he meant by the kingdom of God. And we can misunderstand what the Holy Spirit is, who he is, and his gifts. Our misunderstanding means sometimes we think, oh, it's just for my benefit or my territorial kingdom or my edification. No. Gifts are given to build up the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit unites us to Jesus and to his whole body. Those experiences of the Holy Spirit, they're not for self-indulgence. They're given for the good, for the growth of the church, for the glory of Christ. So as we wait, as we prepare for the Holy Spirit, let's ask for those gifts that build up the church. Might be the gift of interpretation of tongues rather than just, Lord, help me speaking tongues. It might be the gift of a discerning spirit. Or it might be the practical gift. Who here prays for the gift of administration? It's there in 1 Corinthians 12. The gift of helping others. We're told to earnestly desire the greater gifts. So misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit, or a bit of fear, is it going to turn me into a Pentecostal type holy roller? That can hinder us from his Holy Spirit, receiving and experiencing the Holy Spirit. So we've thought about that obstacle of impatience, that obstacle of fear. And the final obstacle, nostalgia for past experiences. In verse 9, after Jesus said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from his sight. They were looking up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside him and said, why do you stand here looking up into the sky? Same Jesus who's been taken into heavens, he's going to come back in the same way you've seen him go into heaven. So once Jesus had gone, the disciples stayed looking up, up. They were gazing up into the sky, and the angels say, just stop looking up into the sky, he's gone. Get on moving. Go off and be my witnesses. And I think there's that thing that happens when we look up and we look back at how it used to be in the olden days. Nostalgia, well, when I first met with Jesus, or this happened to me in the past. And we like look up and remember how it was, rather than getting on with the present. The Holy Spirit reminds us, you're here to be a witness, so get on moving. If you read the rest of Acts chapter 1, the disciples go back, they gather together for prayer, they choose Matthias as the 12th apostle, and they wait. 10 days they wait until Acts chapter 2, Pentecost, And you'll hear all about that exciting story next week. So beware of nostalgia for maybe a past experience I had once. But look forward. Fill me again, Lord Jesus. So finally, what are the things that can hinder us from welcoming the Holy Spirit, opening ourselves up to that Holy Spirit, that gift promised in Acts 1, that gift promised us in Luke 11, that gift promised by Jesus? First of all, impatience. Sometimes we simply need to wait, to prepare. Sometimes fear, I'm a bit worried it's going to turn me into somebody like that, or I'm a bit scared of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's a misunderstanding because there has been past misuse of language about the Holy Spirit. Maybe we just don't quite understand who the Holy Spirit is and what he does. Or maybe our obstacle is the past. We're always looking back for those glory days. Well, when Jesus was here in the past, rather than looking forward. So we're all called to prepare ourselves for a filling again of the Holy Spirit, so that we can be witnesses, so that we can tell the world about Jesus. Jesus' final command in verse 8, when the power comes, you will be my witnesses. Jerusalem, where you are, Judea and Samaria, a bit further afield, and to the ends of the earth. The effect of the Holy Spirit was that they told others about Jesus. They pointed to Jesus and they spread further and further out to tell others. So Jesus Christ is going to come back. Right at the end of that passage, we're reminded he is going to come back again and we will see him. But in the meantime, we've got work to do in the power of the Spirit to tell others about Jesus, because the Holy Spirit points to Jesus. So as I close now, let's just ponder on those things. What is God telling me now? As the musicians come back, we're going to wait for that presence, the power of the Holy Spirit to come. Let's ask God for help to overcome any fears or misunderstandings we have about the Holy Spirit. And let's not look to the past, those glory days, those past experiences, but look forward to the Holy Spirit. Let's be continually filled with the Spirit. So let's be quiet, and I'll lead us in prayer now. We welcome you, Lord Jesus. We welcome your Holy Spirit to come among us now. Forgive us, Lord, when we get impatient for you to act quickly. Forgive us when we get impatient to receive gifts, things you have promised us, answers to prayer. Lord, sometimes we misunderstand that gifts are good and given for our benefit and the benefit of the church. Forgive us, Lord, when we get the wrong end of the stick. Forgive us, Lord, when we are fearful. And Lord, we're sorry for those times when we just keep looking back at what was once and don't look forward. So as the musicians play, as we move on into worship, let's continue to bring those fears, those misunderstandings, whatever it is, before Jesus now. Come, Holy Spirit, we pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and fill us again.